Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Robert Reynolds. I'm a principal PM on the OMS services team. I focus on enterprise manageability and governance of clouds, including Azure, and I work kind of across the management and security service teams in OMS and Azure, as well as the resource teams, trying to kind of build our collective solution for managing at scale. Today, I'm going to kind of take you through what's possible today, and know that we're, you know, working and trying to improve a lot of these scenarios. But I'm going to at least show you what's possible. You know, if you went to Jason's keynote, I love to steal people's slides. He had a great slide that is just talking about the different audiences and stakeholders and how they all have their needs. Sometimes those needs align. Sometimes they're in kind of natural conflict. But they're all putting pressure on what IT needs to do to both enable the business on the cloud as well as help the company manage, secure, govern the cloud. I kind of think of it like a kite festival. How does IT enable all these beautiful things to fly around in the sky and up in the clouds? But at the same time, how do they ensure that, you know, they're all visible, nothing goes flying off into an electric power line, and they're connected to the business requirements? Because ultimately, if, you know, one of those beautiful things out in the cloud goes flying off into the electrical storm, you know, it's IT's responsibility that it didn't happen, and it'll come back eventually to IT. And so today I want to talk about, like, what are the services that you can use collectively across Azure to kind of put that string on the kite, make sure that it's connected, make sure that it stays visible. And so this is a level 200 session. I am going to show code because in some cases that's the only way some of these things can be done. But I'm also going to take kind of a horizontal path, not a very deep path on any one of these things. I did draw the lucky Thursday afternoon right after lunch slot. The good news is that means you guys are all going to be pretty stable in your seats. I hope you don't doze off. The other good news is I hope that you've already seen at least one, if not a couple, deep dive sessions on most of the things that I'm going to talk about. At the end of the deck, there's a list of all of the sessions, the deep dive sessions, for the different things that I'm going to talk about as I kind of go through this end-to-end scenarios. So, Operations Management Suite, these are kind of our hero management security services, you know, span from automation to monitoring and analytics to backup and site recovery, security and compliance. This week we announced Azure Monitor and the Azure Monitor experience in the Azure portal that integrates the platform monitoring capabilities that are the Azure Monitor service, the OMS monitoring capabilities, which are based on Azure Log Analytics service, and the Visual Studio monitoring capabilities, which are in Application Insights. And so there's one experience that pulls that together, and we're starting to work across all of the monitoring services to provide kind of an integrated solution that allows you to mix all of our capabilities very easily together. Resource Manager is the fundamental platform policy enforcer where everything has to kind of go through to get provisioned. And then dev test labs, which I'm not going to spend a lot of time on today, but if you're really looking to enable governed test labs, they have a solution very much focused on that solution or that scenario. And we're, as we think about enterprise management and governance of the entire Azure environment, we're looking at a lot of the things that they're kind of developing for the scope of a dev test lab and working about how do we increase the scale of that kind of capability so they can be used across all of Azure. And then the last thing I'll talk about is Azure Enterprise Portal, which is where large Azure customers go to manage subscriptions and costs. So let me just get a feel for where you guys are in your cloud journey and your, you know, scale with Azure. Can I get a show of hands of how many of you guys have production workloads in Azure today? That's good. How many people are using one or more OMS services today? Okay, that could be better. And in your use of Azure, how many of you have more than 10 subscriptions that you're responsible for in Azure? Excellent. How many have more than 50? Okay. Because as I've been talking to customers, one of the things that I find is a lot of the scenarios that we talk about can be accomplished at the scale kind of below 10 subscriptions. Manually, just human brute force. Yep, I'll go into that subscription and I'll configure it that way, and then I'll go to that one and configure it. And, you know, the human is the policy manager. After 10 subscriptions, that starts to get really hard. It usually starts meaning there's more than one person, and the consistency between two people is really, really hard. And so at about 50 subscriptions, as I've talked to people, the ability to just scale the human solution fails. And so what we're going to talk about today is ways to automate things, even some things that you can already do at scale in individual places in Azure. Let's see. So when we think about the collection of services between OMS and the Azure platform capabilities, we're really trying to deliver a full lifecycle management of your resources in Azure. Whether that be configuration, you know, orchestration of deployment, patches after the fact, monitoring the config stayed the way that you wanted it, analytics of the data that's coming off, an alert and monitoring capabilities, discovery of the topologies that are out there, being able to back things up, protect yourself from disasters, whether that's a misconfigured configuration file that, you know, messes up a database schema, or whether that is an entire site failure or entire application failure, and being able to have business continuity. And then security, you know, from helping people detect when there's intrusions through the policies that are required to start preventing the intrusions from happening to begin with, or at least as many as possible, because it is more important to be always looking than it is to pretend that you have secured everything. We're trying to help with both, but it is, I think, as if you've been to any of the security sessions, the security guys talk about it as a never-ending war, where they're constantly coming up with prevention methods, but the analytic methods and the continuous analytic of detection is critical. And then from a governance standpoint, a lot of these are kind of platform capabilities that we're enhancing but policy management, subscription management, and then cost optimization. So we'll talk kind of about the capabilities through here. So I kind of want to do this in reverse order. The first thing I'm going to do is show you all the bright shinies that you get, and then we'll talk about how you get that stuff set up and operating at scale. So part of the new Azure monitoring service capabilities that we announced today or this week were the Azure portal dashboards. This is a dashboard that I've created that has a set of solutions, all of which are managing multiple subscriptions. I have the Azure activity logs collected across multiple subscriptions. I'm monitoring changes in software configuration within virtual machines, able to see the status of updates across Windows and Linux VMs, the anti-malware status of VMs. I'm able to see what's going on with my network security groups, who's, how many defaults, denials there are, plus how many accesses there are. I'm able to see Security Center information. As you can see, this is the demo environment. Thank goodness it's not accessible from the public internet. If this was your dashboard that was about what are the things you need to go take care of from a management and security perspective, it would be a very busy day, because full policy isn't deployed yet in these environments. But if I'm wanting to understand what is the activity that is happening across many subscriptions in Azure, I can very quickly drill down into the activity logs and see an aggregate of all of the activity across the subscriptions that are in the scope of this solution. I can see who or what identities are driving the most changes. I can see what this, excuse me, the status of those are. So if there's a large number of failures, I can go try to figure out what the cause of that is across, you know, is that an individual? Is it something in one of the tools or processes that people are using that is repeating failure? So that you can kind of drive those out of the system and improve people's experience with Azure. And then what resources and services are being touched the most by change? If I were the SQL Azure, one more click. If I were the SQL Azure DBA, and I was responsible for the elastic pools that are getting deployed and, you know, the horizontal view of all of the databases that are being deployed in Azure, the SQL Azure solution, which is jointly being developed between the log analytics team and the SQL Azure team, will allow us to come in and very quickly see what's going on with my elastic pools, where are the hotspots from a CPU perspective, where are the hotspots from a DTU perspective, and where are the failed connections against databases. So this is kind of, you know, there's security folks that need horizontal views, there's operational folks, and then there's kind of resource specialist folks that need these horizontal views. And through log analytics and the management solutions, we're able to provide that across a large number of subscriptions. So this is kind of the end output of, you know, I've deployed all these, and then I've crafted this dashboard. I can share that across subscriptions or through it without anybody in the tenant. Through RBAC, but kind of the root place that a lot of the monitoring capabilities come together is the monitor user experience, where the platform capabilities are there, and you can kind of very quickly get to, here's all of the solutions that I have deployed, and navigate there to find them, and then put them on to dashboards, if you wish. So that should give you an idea of what the end result can look like. What we're really trying to accomplish is how does that central IT or central security team enable application teams at scale, but also enable, you know, the IT teams and the security teams to ensure that only the proper access, the proper config, that everything is auditable, that things are performing and available, and that there is cost management and governance. And so today what I'm going to walk through is kind of, I'm assuming that you've seen the deep dives, or at least one of the deep dives for the OMS services. You might have seen an ARM deep dive. You might have seen the Azure Monitor deep dive. What I'm going to talk about today is how do you even get your team access? Like, if you show up and say, you know, there's been 5, 10 app teams out building on Azure, and then the CIO turns to the IT group and says, yeah, great, we let them run for a while. Now it's time to, you know, go put visibility and control over that so that we can start managing it and then we can scale it out in our organization. How do you even get access to begin with? How do you define and set up policies for cloud resources, for in-guest VM configurations, for just setting up the monitoring and security infrastructure and connecting the dots? And then how do you share resources so that it's easier to do things the right way than it is to do things the wrong way? And then ultimately, how do you report on costs? So I'm going to kind of go through these steps. So let's start with access. So, see, code already. The human scale way of getting access is the enterprise portal. Somebody goes into the enterprise portal, creates subscriptions, puts an owner on the subscription, which then passes it into RBAC in Azure, and then that person has the capability to add other people to the subscription. So today, if there's already 10 teams out there doing stuff and you show up and you want to just get security visibility across all of those subscriptions, you have to go to the enterprise portal, figure out the email address for each of the subscription owners, send an email to them, ask nicely for them to add you or your team or your tools with the right access to the subscription, and then wait and hope, because the reliability of multiple humans is not high. There is a new API that's in production now. The documentation is working its way out, and support for this in the standard Azure PowerShell commandlets is also coming. What we're working on right now is a PowerShell that we can post to the community probably next week that will be a simple standalone PowerShell that will go do this. Now, one of the things about this is this allows you to set RBAC at the tenant scope. So you can go in and there's this new, you know, root scope, which represents the tenant, and that will, you can set RBAC at that level. Well, a tenant, an Azure Active Directory tenant admin can set RBAC at that level. Once that RBAC is set, it's inherited by all subscriptions in the tenant. So it's a very powerful thing. But the idea here is this is where you can give your teams access to all the subscriptions. You can give your principal IDs for automation the right access to all of the subscriptions. This is where, you know, I mentioned earlier what's possible. This is the way this is possible today, and we're trying to make this simpler. So RBAC roles are really important, and there's a lot of them in Azure. I want to touch on a few that are more necessary for setting up management and security at scale. User Access Administrator allows you to configure ARM policies, RBAC, config policies, which we'll talk about, blocks, which we'll talk about. Security Manager allows you to set Security Center related policies, as well as those security folks to interact with VMs. As part of the Azure monitoring solution, we've added a monitoring contributor role and a monitoring reader role that work consistently across the Azure monitoring services. Contributor is able to set policy. Reader is a read-only monitoring user. And then automation operator is how you allow somebody to have task automation without the ability to edit the runbook. So if you have level one operators that you're trying to give access, you might give them monitoring reader and automation operator. That would allow them to see all the monitoring output and then be able to execute runbooks for auto remediations. In the end, you can create, if none of these roles work for you, you can create your own very tailored custom roles. That's definitely an advanced topic, but it's there. So the next thing which can be very handy is locks from ARM. And locks allow you to override the normal capabilities of roles. And there's two ways to do that, a cannot delete lock and a read-only lock. Cannot delete just keeps people from, you know, mistakenly deleting things. And read-only just really locks down the subscription completely. As long as those locks are applied, and they apply through the hierarchy, so if you set them in a subscription or resource group, they lock everything below that. As long as they are applied, then not even an owner can go and, you know, delete or modify, depending on which lock is set, the resource. So the owner or the user access admin can go change the policy and then go do it. But it keeps the you know, stupid errors from happening. This is very handy for production environments or demo environments where the configuration is relatively stable and you want this extra protection and separation of the roles that are being used normally to administrate that environment. So we've talked about how to set up access and control that. So the next step is setting up the management and security services. I'm not going to go through how to set up an Azure Automation account or the Log Analytics workspace. Those things were covered in the deep dives. And what I am going to talk about, though, is there's also a template that you can go use that's out in the Quick Start templates that you can go grab, and it will deploy the full set of OMS services and connect them together and automatically configure them for you. What I am going to focus on is how can you use services to then go connect the resources. So Azure Automation has runbooks. You know, they can be used for remediation tasks. They can be used, they can be scheduled, initiated via webhook for external automation into the tasks, or just user-initiated. The example here is one that is about setting up and enabling monitoring agents across VMs, across a large number of subscriptions. So what it'll do is it'll go look at the subscriptions, get the service credentials that are used for the run as account, go access all the subscriptions, find all the VMs, inspect the VMs. If they aren't under management, it will then use DSC to apply a configuration policy that will then put them under management and register them with the appropriate monitoring log analytics workspace. So you can also use that same type of pattern to go set the Azure Diagnostic configuration if you're using the Azure Diagnostic agents to send data so that they will send information to the log analytics workspace. And all of the new PaaS services that are using the Azure Monitor infrastructure, those are also configured through that diagnostics pattern. So like SQL Azure, you would go to your SQL Azure instances and set a diagnostic configuration to send the diagnostic data to the appropriate log analytics workspace. So if we jump over to automation, and what I've done is I have another dashboard that just has all of my kind of demo set up in it, my automation account, my workspace, tells me who has access or how many people have access and what the service stuff is. But if I drill into automation, this is not particularly a scaled environment, but it is running in production with a number of customers at very large scale. So the first thing is runbooks that we talked about. All of this is plugged into the community. It's powered by a million little Jeffrey Snovers. But the idea is there's a community that is creating solutions and piece parts in PowerShell and graphical runbooks that you can incorporate very easily into your automation environment. So to give you an example, we just published a graphical runbook last week that allows you to register Azure resources using DSC into a log analytics workspace, which is the example that I was talking about earlier. So I can very easily go out, grab that, import it. Now I've done that. I've given it my own name, and I've given it a schedule. So what it does is every day, it will go out and scan all the subscriptions, look for all the VMs, validate whether they're properly monitored or connected for monitoring, and that all the services are running. And if it's not, then it will automatically configure the connection to the management systems and put those VMs under management. So pretty straightforward runbook, but this is one that we're adding to the community and will evolve over time to incorporate more resource types and more policies as well. Now, part of the challenge is, well, I don't know about the challenge, but this is going and enabling VMs is possible in the log analytics workspace. If you go in, you can see a list of subscriptions that you personally have access to. You can see all the VMs. You can select the ones that you want to enable and go. The challenge is we designed that as a user interface for human scale experience. Once you get to, so then somebody's going to spend 10 minutes every day going through and looking for all the unmanaged VMs and checking them and doing that. It's great for kind of initial setup. But when we get to scale and we get to, well, you need to do that for backup, you need to do that for patching, you need to do that for monitoring, you need to do that for security, then moving that out to a runbook, at least right now, is the kind of the best way to accomplish that in a predictable way over time. So there's not a ton of magic. I mean, it's pretty brute force. One of the next scenarios we're talking about here is potentially using this off of having a webhook off of notification off of the activity log. So every time a new VM is created, it will just go do this individual evaluation. So instead of a kind of a daily poll, it will just go do it immediately. Now, part of the challenge there is the timing of how long it takes things to completely get configured. And so we've got to figure out a reliable way of interacting with the provisioning that's going on, probably through a template, so that we're not, you know, trying to do things twice and getting stuff messed up. But in the end, the idea is that you have these desired state configuration policies. Those policies will make sure that the agent is installed and always installed and running. And that is a key way for central IT to make sure that they have visibility into what's going on inside the VMs. You can see a lot of what's going on in Azure for PaaS services simply by connecting the Azure Monitor infrastructure to log analytics for PaaS services. So you don't need to deploy agents for those. The PaaS services put a lot of data through the platform that then we can connect with directly into log analytics now. So. Switch back now. So we've talked about how do you get your teams and your tools access from kind of no access to proper role-based access on subscriptions and resource groups. We've talked about once you have that access, how to use Azure Automation to get the management and security policies deployed across Azure at scale. In that case, it was using VM extensions and DSC, but it can also deploy, you know, if you're templatizing policies or want to deploy things automatically, then it can just as easily deploy a template across a large number of subscriptions. But this has a lot to do with kind of what we call brownfield, right? Stuff's kind of already out of control, or you don't know whether it's in control or not. How do you make things better going forward? And this is where, you know, the power of Azure Resource Manager and configuration policies really come in. So there are three types of policies for controlling configuration. The first one is an audit effect. That is very useful if you have a large environment where you don't really know what the impact of a policy is going to be. By deploying the policy with an audit effect, all of the new deployments that would be out of policy are automatically logged into the activity log, and then you can analyze them in log analytics to see what would be the impact of actually deploying that, that policy with a deny effect. So the deny effect is real blocking. So it's these are enforced at the API layer. Doesn't matter what client is used, doesn't matter whether it's PowerShell, raw REST API, the portal. These, once these are set, these policies will always apply. Deny says if a deployment request is doesn't meet policy, it's just rejected and denied due to policy. Now, one of the challenges that we're still working on here is that the portal isn't fully aware of the policies that ARM knows about. So you can get into a situation where somebody can go through a lot of steps in the portal, and the portal doesn't filter out the bad options, and they can choose a bad option, and then when they deploy against the deny policy, it will, the deployment will fail. It'll give them a message saying it failed due to policy. But at that point, they've spent a lot of time configuring something, and so we know we need to fix that, and we're working on that. But the key things, oh, and then the append mode or effect is the other, the third type of policy. And append allows you to set defaults. So if you wanted to say, set a default tag, and then people wouldn't actually have to specify the tag. You just set a policy at the with the append effect at the subscription level, and when anybody created a resource or a resource group or anything below that subscription, it would automatically get that tag set. So it basically adds stuff to a template. So what are the kind of things that, you know, the problems you can solve with ARM templates? Well, IT groups that I talk to want, you know, say, look, we can support a certain number of services, right? And in the enterprise portal, there's a couple of switches. You can basically say, don't show anybody a preview service, right? So it's only the Azure GA services. But then there's IT shops that say, well, I need more control than that because functions is GA, but we're not ready to support it. We don't have all the security answers or, you know, whatever is necessary to fully support it. So for in production environments, we don't want it deployed or used. So you can control the service catalog. You can specify exactly which resource types and which services can be provisioned on a subscription using ARM policy. So you can control the Azure service catalog to your users of Azure. You can control like data sovereignty. We want all of our data and all of our VMs to run in a particular Azure location or a set of them, but we want to make sure that none ever get, are able to get deployed into certain regions. So that's a pretty straightforward policy. Tagging is one we hear a lot. Like the example that's on the right here is make sure that there's a cost center tag, and it must have the, you know, one of the three official departments as the value. And if it doesn't, deny the provisioning request. It's kind of hardcore, but if you have a lot of logic built off of that cost center tag, this is a way to make sure that it's always there and properly specified. VM images, name standardization, scoping the sizes that are available. So not only can you decide which resources are available, but you can decide which SKUs are available for, you know, high performance versus standard storage, nobody can deploy the big H awesome series that they just announced this week because that thing will burn money until we figure out what the real business need is for it. And all of these can be scoped, like you can do it on a resource group level, so just you can put these policies around a particular team. You can put them on a subscription level so that you can give, you know, a production environment that has one set of rules and a development environment that has a completely different set of rules. So there's a lot of flexibility in this. And this is one of the places that, as I think about where OMS can add value to the platform, it's how do you manage these policies and apply them at scale. And right now, you know, we would say, oh great, do that, and then we'll automate the deployment of those against a set of subscriptions. But I believe that we can do more than that, and we'll try to get that done. Encryption standards, whether it's disk encryption or whether it's network encryption, those are kind of common scenarios. As we talked about earlier, this requires an owner or the user access administrator role to modify the authorization policies. So you've gone through, you've figured out kind of at scale what ARM policies you can set, but how do you just make it easy for people to do the right thing? So one of the things that's in preview now is there's a templates RP. Probably familiar with, go to the marketplace, I want a template, it takes you out to the quick start template thing and you can provision from there. What this allows you to do is actually customize a template, use it yourself, or share it across many subscriptions and many teams using RBAC. So you can start building your own service catalog of templates, whether that's about standardizing the VM images that are used, customizing applications so that you, you know, can have a customized stack, custom network configs. The MSIT team, they have big express route pipes that go between Azure and on-prem. Most of you, if you're operating at scale, might do the same things. The network team owns the subscription where those express route comes in. They then connect VNets to that express route and then publish those express routes out to all their application teams so that they can use that. So a standard set of VNets that are consumed by application teams. And then they can lock down that the application teams can't provision their own VNets using the service catalog capability. Right? So you can do a lot of controls here. I'm going to actually show you some of this. So let's just go look at templates. So these are the templates that I have accessed right now for the demo environment. The deploy OMS services is the one I mentioned earlier that'll just deploy all of the OMS services and configure. What? Oh, sorry. Thank you. Imagine if you would, a list of templates. So the OMS services one will just deploy all the OMS services and configure them. This is great if you're, you know, doing dev test environments outside of your production configuration of OMS or demo environments. The one I'm going to talk about is IT-supported VM, but want to really quickly show you, it's pretty easy to add. Let's say I wanted to offer dev test lab, a standard configuration of dev test lab. So I can do this. I pop in here and ooh, we're back to code. Now, if you're awesome, awesomer than me, you can just code this. No problem at all. Just sit down and whack it out. But for me, I just go to the quick starts. I say, hey, I want to look for a dev test lab. And somebody's already published a template. I can just go to their GitHub. Azure Deploy is the standard main template that people would use. Let's see if I can do this any faster now than I'm loving my. So you can just basically cut and paste. And now what I have is I have a private template that I could use myself. If I refresh, you'll be able to see it. And now if I want, if I've seen it, how it works, and tested it, I can now deploy it out. I can share it out across the entire tenant using RBAC so that anybody can go to the template, their view, and would be able to see this if I've given them access. And I can give them co-author, I can give them contributor, owner access, all the regular, reader level stuff. So what I wanted to do, just to kind of show you what can be done, is I've created a template that is a variant of one you may have seen a couple of times this week. But this one's focused on what, I'm not going to go through, here's how the template for the resource deployment. What this is really about is how can you control the user experience for the parameters, the input parameters. How can you have parameters that are hard-coded and controlled by IT, but properly deployed in the template. So template 101 real quick. Now this is a main template, so it uses nested templates, so it uses other templates to actually do the resource provisioning, but this template is very specifically about gathering the input parameters that are shown in the portal. And so when we go look at that, there's a VM name prefix, so this allows people to name their VMs. The VM sizes that are presented would be consistent with the ARM policy that I had set up, right? So now they can't pick one that policy would deny. So this is a way to kind of scope that. I have some control and validation. In this case, I've simplified the choice of a VM image just down to the operating system type, right? Tell me if you want a supported Windows box or a supported Linux box. The template takes that information later and decides which official image to use to satisfy that request. It also allows them to create a bunch of VMs at once that are the same. There's way cooler versions of templates at scale out there that allow you to create multiple standalone VMs, VMs in scale sets, VMs in across availability zones, load balance the storage. There's all kinds of cool stuff you can put into this. I was trying to be a little bit simpler. In this case, it's just control over the fact that if they're creating a VM, they can create between 1 and 10 VMs, and we'll do that. So the last thing is this an IT-managed VM? And it's just a simple yes-no question that gets turned into, so if I go up here and I say deploy, it gets turned into whether or not the OMS services get deployed are configured for that resource. So in this case, it's a VM, so it's going to set up the log analytics agent automatically for monitoring. So we talked about, you know, earlier the brownfield scenario where you have this runbook that is kind of scanning the environment, looking for machines that aren't under management that should be, and putting them under management. Well, this is just making it easier for people to create machines under management so that they do it that way instead of doing it the other way, right? And that's, I would say right now, what the template RP is probably best at. It's best at making it easier to do the right thing, because it doesn't have a lot of blocking capabilities to prevent bad behavior other than what you can kind of scope in the parameters and the variables of the template. And even those are relatively open so people can see them. And so if they want to do something different, they can, unless you've set the ARM policies. So it is a useful thing, and a key principle as you're trying to enable app teams at scale in Azure, it's how do you put the least amount of hard controlling policy around them, and then make it easier to do things the right way than to do them the wrong way. And so figuring that out is a journey for us across the management security services in Azure, and it's an individual journey for each company deciding how much control they need. But remember that the first control is making sure that there's visibility so you know whether or not you need more control or not. And so setting up the security policies, setting up the activity logging is a pretty straightforward way to get visibility across all your subscriptions. So we talked about that. So if you go to Portal, there's a billing place. You can go see a billing report for any of the subscriptions that you are a named owner for, the billing owner for. But it's still going to be kind of a simple aggregate or a one subscription at a time view of what's going on. If you need cost management and cost governance across a large number of subscriptions, the enterprise portal is the place that you need to go do that. It's where subscriptions get created on enterprise agreements. It's where the custom pricing for an enterprise agreement, you can get the information for that. There are two types of administrators in the EA portal. There's an enterprise administrator that has access to all of the information within an agreement. And there's department administrators. So you can create departments and group subscriptions. So you might have those be line of business groupings, or you might have them be production and dev test groupings. The groupings are up to you, but in order to get access to see things in that portal, you need to get added as a department administrator. And then the default is that would show you aggregate usage and would allow you to get notifications when the budget quota notifications were triggered. Access can be given so that you can see all the cost information, not just the raw usage, and have the ability to set quotas so that you can determine when the notifications are sent. And so that's the first step, is just getting access to this other portal at the right level so that you have the aggregate view that you're responsible for. Once you're there, then you get kind of what's going on this month, how are things being spent against the entitlements that we have. You get quarterly usage or quarterly usage and spend reports. You get the ability to export this information to Excel so that you can go to town making your own charts, or an API key that there's a Power BI solution that will go and give you dashboards and some basic analytics over what you can do, or the cost data in the EA portal. Cost is fundamentally a data platform. The important things are the subscription, which is the billing container, resource groups, which allow you to think separately about applications or different resource pools, tags, which help you understand groupings across that kind of org or application structure. And so there's a set of APIs, a usage and a rate card API in ARM to get your usage data and your price data and then do the P times Q, or the EA usage API, which also provides your EA priced usage. And there's a whole set of partners that we work with that provide rich cost management beyond what we can do either in the Azure portal, in the EA portal, that are connected to these APIs. So I kind of walked through the full cycle of managing resources and talked about how you can use automation, you can use the monitoring capabilities. We didn't talk a lot about backup and recovery, but those can be automated fully for provisioning as well. Talked only briefly about the security stuff, but talked about how to set it up. And then we talked about policy and cost optimization. So we're working together across the OMS services and all the Azure platform services to connect these very tightly and provide an enterprise solution or a managed service provider solution as we go forward. Again, here are the related sessions. So if I didn't cover something in the depth that you needed to understand it, these are the specific sessions out of all of the OMS and Azure management security sessions that are touching on the pieces that I touched on at a shallower level today. And the ones in the blue box are the ones that are after mine. So they're the task automation one. The task automation ones this afternoon, and then tomorrow is the application dependency monitoring and the update and change management sessions. So other than that, I just want to say thank you for attending and, enjoy building your own kite festival. Thank you. Off already. Please fill out the e-value. This is the first time I'm doing this session, and I'm trying to get the right balance of covering the breadth and the right level of depth. And so would love your feedback on how I can improve it. Thank you.